The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour brings to you the very latest nutrition information, and the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers bring you EDLP. More about EDLP during the show. Here are your hosts, Al Foreman and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. And for the moment, I'm just going to share with you the information that because Al Foreman is not on the phone to greet you this morning, I'm guessing that he is very hard at work at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, working so extremely hard to have the store open so that you, our listeners, our customers, can start saving money, finding all of the incredibly high-quality brands free of all of the negative components at very, very good prices. And all of that happens at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. And if you want to find out a little bit more about it, you can go to www.savalotnutritioncenters.com. And what I'm going to be talking about for this morning, and I have just a little surprise at 10:30. I have a very special guest joining me. What I'm going to be talking about, because this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and because on Thursday I will be doing a lecture in Delray Beach about the importance of balancing your hormones from a nutrition perspective in order to minimize the possibility that you might be diagnosed with breast cancer. And so one of the most interesting bits of information that I'll start talking about has to do with stress and recent research that has been published. So, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, this is the month of October, and I kind of scratch my head about that. Breast Cancer Awareness, isn't it very stressful that we have such an ongoing awareness of the devastation of breast cancer? And instead of talking about being aware of breast cancer, instead of talking about, well, you can do this biopsy and you can do this lumpectomy and you can do this surgical procedure, you can test to make sure that there is no movement of cancer cells into the lymphatic system, there's so much high-tech approach. Shouldn't we be thinking about why are so many people dealing, why are so many women dealing with this issue? Shouldn't we, and I should kind of correct myself. I will correct myself. It's women and men. There are a certain percentage of men also vulnerable to developing breast cancer. And certainly on Thursday evening when I do my presentation in Delray Beach, I will be talking about the reasons why it is both males and females that need to be concerned about hormonal changes ultimately creating the background body chemistry that develops into cancer. But such incredible information, and what I'm reading to you about now comes from WebMD. I don't often go to WebMD with regard to sharing information that they've presented on WebMD, because in my opinion, WebMD kind of straddles a very fine line and very often falling over into the more medical and more commercial approaches rather than the natural and those approaches that are full of common sense. But they have some very interesting information on the website, and it's old information, interesting, from 2003. And it was researchers supporting the perspective or having studied the viewpoint that stress has the potential to double the risk of developing breast cancer. And they studied more than 1,400 Swedish women, and this was in the 1960s. Isn't this amazing how long the information takes to make it into mainstream media, or just make it into media? Because this issue with regard to stress has certainly been studied. You know, we're seeing from 1960s reported by Swedish researchers 2003. And so they were talking about a long-term study where there was what they said was a representative sample. So a sample of the female Swedish population filling out a health survey and inquiring also about stress. And so they followed these women and they asked about the stressful situations, and the stress might have been work stress, it might have been family disturbances, and there were also some symptoms that these women who were experiencing stressful situations in their lives, the symptoms that they might have manifested would be things like tension and anxiety and fear. And so they looked at the question of whether the stress contributed to breast cancer. And the studies were based on reports from individual patients who were already diagnosed with cancers. And the result was that they are certainly at much higher risk for developing breast cancer, and that's what the study showed. And they provided the information about the stress, and then the women were followed and studied, and they were matching the level of stress that had been reported earlier on the health intake survey and the incidence of women being diagnosed with breast cancer. And the conclusion here on WebMD is they found women who reported being under stress had twice the risk of developing breast cancer as those women, as compared to those women who I presume used stress management techniques, or their personalities were slightly different so that they tended to stay much calmer. They didn't necessarily respond to the risk. And there were other factors that they put into this overall study, and it was whether there was family history. Was there a genetic component? Or I'm going to say, even when we're discussing family history, families tend to have, over generations, similar lifestyles. And what I'm talking about is favorite foods. And those favorite foods might not necessarily be the most health-supporting foods. And if they used alcohol and the extent to which they used alcohol, were they having an alcoholic drink every day? Was it twice a week? Was it on occasion? Was it beer and wine, or was it distilled alcohol? And then also figured into this whole picture was body weight and, of course, smoking. Smoking being right up there with stress. So many of the individuals reach for a cigarette when they're under stress. Having a certain amount of stress busting or calmness that happens when they're sitting down and having a cigarette. And then also figured into this whole process was the age when the women had their first menstruation, the age when they had their first baby, and the age when they began menopause. So all of those individual characteristics figured into the conclusions of the study. Does stress cause breast cancer? There was very interesting information on a website, and it was AnnieAppleseedProject.org, and they were talking about interviewing women who had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And in interviewing those women, 100% of the women who had breast cancer and were being treated for breast cancer, those women reported a significant time frame of stress that they had gone through in the prior 5 years. And it wasn't that you lost your keys. That's stressful, yes, but it happened to be things like a job loss, the death of a close friend or family member, losing certain property, significant property, so like a foreclosure on a house, a move, a significant move. So there are many different aspects of how stress impacts individuals. Some people are able to stay focused that today, yes, this is going to be a hard day and probably going to spill over into tomorrow or possibly even the rest of the week, possibly even the rest of the month, but it isn't going to last forever. Things are going to change that are going to either minimize the impact of the stress on me or maximize the impact of the stress on me. And if I think it's maximizing stress, then I think that maybe I need to take certain steps to stress bust, stress manage, stress elimination techniques. And when we come back from this break, I will talk about some of the mainstream approaches to stress management, and then what are your choices with regard to managing stress in a natural realm. You are tuned to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'll be back after these messages. Concerned about your health and the health of your family? Tune in every weekday morning to Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'll be available for nutrition counseling sessions at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. The store will be opening in November, and we will keep you updated on construction progress. Located at 3105 State Road 7 in Margate, in the Penn Dutch Center.
Janet Cimarelli wants to keep you posted on an incredible supplement shopping opportunity coming soon to Margate, 3105 State Road 7 in Margate, just south of Sample Road on the west side of State Road 7, or otherwise known as 441. You will find a Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center under construction. Stop in and say hello. Get the latest news on EDLP, and the great things you will soon find at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers. Incredible pricing, knowledgeable vitamin specialists, free nutrition counseling, all coming soon.
And welcome back. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and you are tuned to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. And coming soon, the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center at the location 3105 State Road 7, just about a half mile south of Sample Road on 441. So it's on the west side of the road, and you can look for the Spirit Halloween store. If you see the Spirit Halloween store, behind that store in the shopping center, you will see the Save-A-Lot sign up on the front of the store, and you will be able to take a look into the store and see the incredible progress that is going on. Shelving is up, my office is organized, and I have lighting, I have air conditioning, I have a door, so we're making progress. Soon the store will be open and you'll be able to take advantage of EDLP. Everyday low pricing. And those everyday low prices are something that you can take advantage of at any time when you need a particular product. You don't have to wait for special sales. You don't have to wait for it to be buy one, get one. You can come into the Save-A-Lot Center and find your product at the best price possible. And so we're looking forward to around Thanksgiving, and hopefully things will start to go very, very smoothly and you will be able to access those great prices very soon. Okay, before the break, I was talking about the stress component with regard to breast cancer. This is so interesting. As I said, I was reading to you from WebMD, and there was a physician. His name is Harry Storm, and he's the director of cancer prevention and documentation at the Danish Cancer Society based in Copenhagen. Okay, it's always a problem with how you define stress and whether you have a large enough study population. We're not seeing all the data we'd like to see. We need a larger study with clearer definitions of what is stress. But it's definitely a study worth pursuing. Maybe finally putting a nail in the coffin. Is there a link to breast cancer and stress, yes or no? Okay. It sounds like Dr. Harry Storm is really straddling the fence there. Then there is another Dr. Harry. He's with the International Agency for Research in Cancer in Lyon, France. This is something that's under intensive study now, and there are some indications that stress may play a role in some cancers like breast cancer. But we need to see larger studies. Oh, have you ever heard that before? We need to see larger studies. We need to see more studies. We need to duplicate the results of this study. So we study, and to a certain extent, common sense goes out the window. Now, I understand the importance of research. I understand the importance of investigation. Sometimes, though, the way the research studies are prepared, set up, interpreted, we don't really get high quality information. So once again, I will refer to that AnnieAppleseedProject.org statement about women being treated for breast cancer, and in the prior 5 years, they reported very surely being under intense stress. Some studies have examined the question and gotten strikingly different answers. Okay, so we do have some problem there. He mentioned one study of women who had suffered the death of one of their children a very stressful situation, we will all agree. And the researchers found that there was absolutely no relationship between stress and a later risk of breast cancer. Very interesting, very confusing. However, you think about how many of us are under stress on a daily basis, how many of us struggle to maintain that cool, calm, collected facade. And sometimes if we're discussing it with our physicians, their recommendations might come from a certain class of drugs, the benzodiazepine drugs. And so I'm going to go through just a few of those drugs and why you might want to stay away from them and go to something natural instead. Ativan, and that's also known as lorazepam. Now, here it is. The recommendation is this is to be used for short-term relief of anxiety and depression. It's addictive, and it has withdrawal symptoms similar to barbiturates and alcohol. Those withdrawal symptoms would be things like convulsions, tremor, vomiting, sweating, muscle cramps. Okay, so short-term use gets you over the worst of a stressful situation. The side effects: over-sedation, some dizziness, weakness, disorientation, changes in appetite, sleep disturbance. You might even cause agitation, cause disturbances in your vision or digestive system, and possibly the incidence of over-sedation and possible memory impairment increase the older you are. So be really very, very cautious. People who report feeling anxious and unable to sleep should take the drug for only a short time. And remember, if you have been diagnosed with narrow-angle glaucoma, don't take lorazepam or Ativan. Another one, Buspirone. It's prescribed for anxiety and panic attacks, and some of the side effects: dizziness, headache. You might even feel nervous. You might even feel overexcited, gastrointestinal disturbances, or improper dosage, you might experience fatigue. So you want to make sure that you taper off this drug. If you're going to come off the boost bar, it's crucially important that you taper off the drug. And it says, don't drive or operate equipment until you know the effect that boost bar has on you. Another very popular one, Valium. It's diazepam. It is, again, short-term relief. And why? It's addictive. It causes withdrawal symptoms, as those same symptoms you might experience with withdrawal from barbiturates that I mentioned before. And how many people out there are on long-term prescriptions of Valium? So the side effects: drowsiness, fatigue, and loss of muscle coordination. You can become physically and psychologically addicted to the drug, even if you are taking it for a short period of time. Xanax. Oh my goodness. Once again, how many individuals do you know who are taking Xanax? They're keeping calm. They're able to function. Things are going along good. And if you discuss it with them, they say, well, I only take a tiny little bit. That's all I need. It's an exceptionally powerful benzodiazepine drug. Once again, short-term symptomatic relief of anxiety and depression, keeping in mind that you don't necessarily want to use this for any extended period of time. Withdrawal symptoms, lots of side effects, habit forming, drowsiness, fatigue, impaired coordination, dry mouth, weakness, constipation, blurred vision, irritability, memory impairment, insomnia, headache, speech difficulties, anxiety. Oh my goodness, it's making me stress just listing all of these potential side effects from Xanax. The list is mind-boggling. So even if it's taken for a short period of time, people report feeling anxious and unable to sleep, and dependence and withdrawal reactions can include life-threatening seizures. Risk of dependency worsens with higher doses. Okay, so what are we going to do? You're anxious. You're dealing with stress. What should you take a look at? Some of the natural approaches to minimize the problem of a stressful situation. GABA. It stimulates the same receptor sites as the benzodiazepine drugs. So kava, another natural anti-anxiety substance, something that you're not going to have a problem with unless you mix it with alcohol or other tranquilizers. So kava is excellent. Okay, valerian. Okay, remember I talked about Valium and some of the side effects and the suggestion it be used for only short term. Valerian was the source of developing the synthesized version known as Valium. Theanine, which is an extract of green tea, very soothing, very calming, but allows your brain to be focused and function at a high level. And stress relief with massage, body work, shiatsu, reflexology, all of those things are very helpful. And I know this sounds a little strange, that maybe you should try meditation. And you say, well, I'm so stressed, I'm anxious, I can't calm my brain down. And I understand that it's really difficult to try to gain control over your mind. However, you're in charge, not your mind. So you might write down some different calming phrases. You might put certain pictures that give you a feeling of relaxation and calm. You might try some different breathing exercises. You might try yoga. So there are a lot of options for you if you are dealing with stress. And the big thing is, you don't necessarily want to mask the stress and anxiety. You want to actually begin to change your brain chemistry so that you are not so hyper reactive to the situations around you that you are experiencing as stressful. And the whole reason for talking about this happens to be because of the relationship of stress and the ultimate development of breast cancer. It's time for me to take a break here on Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. And when we come back, I have a very special guest, so stay tuned.
Health and happiness are high priority, but so is the health of your budget. That is where Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers addresses all of your health and nutrition needs with EDLP. Everyday low pricing. No need to wait for special sales. Every day of the week, you can find the health-supporting items you have come to rely on at the prices that fit your pocketbook. Want more? Go to info@savealotnutritioncenters.com.
Want to keep up to date on progress at Save a Lot Nutrition Center in Margate? You can visit savealotnutritioncenters.com. Do you want to find out even more? go to info@SaveALotNutritionCenters.com and tune in every day for the latest updates on special events coming up at Save A Lot Nutrition Centers and learn more about the low, low prices coming soon at Save A Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. And welcome back to the Save A Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and joining me now, for the first time on the Save A Lot Nutrition Hour, my former co-host on Natural Doc Radio, it's Dr. Herb Slavin. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
I don't know if you got to hear any of the conversation prior to you joining me on the show, but I've been talking about stress and breast cancer, and now I'd love to move into an area where people get some answers and find out ways to move more in the direction of breast cancer. I know that's something that you work with.
Actually, I try to work with areas of prevention. And the interesting thing is, if you were to Google, you wanted to find out information about breast cancer. And if you were to Google what causes breast cancer, you really can't find much information. I'm not sure if why that is, because we know some of the causes of breast cancer, at least the contributing factors to increasing a woman's risk of getting breast cancer, but very little is written about that. All they talk about is early diagnosis, you know, self-breast exam, get your yearly mammogram, get your ultrasound, and then they talk about the various treatments. And really, in comparison, very little, if anything, is ever spoken about what women can do to lower their chances of getting breast cancer.
Now, I know that you work with thermography at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. And yesterday, while driving on the highway, I saw this van with a very, very big sign wrapped all around the van. And it was now 3D mammography. You can find out more. Get your 3D mammography. Do you want to talk a little bit about how thermography is so much better than even the latest technological movement forward, 3D mammography?
Well, the fact that they had to move from regular mammography to 3D is a tacit admission that, you know, mammograms really aren't a very good test, because what they look at with a regular mammogram is very difficult to discern as far as is there cancer or not. And how do I know that? Because when they publish the statistics about breast needle biopsies, they say 80% of them turn out to be benign. So they look at things, when they're not sure what they're looking at, they say, well, stick a needle in it, we'll find out. Well, 80% come back benign. So, you know, it's not a very reliable test or accurate test, and that's the mammography. So now they go to the 3D mammography, which clearly gives a better image of the breast, but at what expense? You still have the compression. You have even more radiation exposure, but the... My biggest complaint about that approach to diagnosis is you're diagnosing the presence of breast cancer, but you're not identifying women at risk of developing breast cancer before they get it. In other words, they'll tell you if you don't have breast cancer, everything is fine. They're just looking for breast cancer. Why is that? Because that's where the money is. They don't want to identify women at risk of developing it. First of all, they don't want to use that technology, and they don't want to prevent breast cancer. They want to treat it.
I was talking about the importance of managing stress, and that stress issue as connected to the potential risk of developing breast cancer. And you think about the stress that women go through when they've been told, oh, we see something suspicious on your mammogram. We need to come in and have the needle biopsy. So the time frame from the mammogram, the discovery of the lump in the breast, the needle biopsy, the analysis of the biopsy, that stressful time period, I have to say, is unimaginable. So instead of having a mammography, instead of having a 3D, the latest technology, a 3D mammography, you do at the Institute of Advanced Medicine, you do thermography. So,
Jenna, and before we get into that topic, I just want to say if you're still getting mammograms, which I recommend to my patients to avoid, if you would, let's say you're doing self breast exam and you feel something, you know, go for an ultrasound first, skip the mammogram, and then do an MRI. Now, if you're at the point where a doctor is telling you, get a needle biopsy, before you do that, get an MRI. You do the MRI, a breast MRI with coils. There are special coils for this. And with contrast, and they can pretty much tell you whether that what you're feeling or what they've seen is malignant or not. And then you could take it from there and decide how you want to approach the problem. Once you start sticking needles into cancer, you're changing the course of the illness. So you really want to be sure how you want to approach the problem. Okay, breast thermography. The problem I saw with breast cancer is nobody was doing anything to identify people at risk or before they get cancer. And I said, why is that? Well, you see this approach in mainstream medicine across the board. It's not just with breast cancer. It's with prostate cancer. It's with heart disease. They don't intervene before the patient gets sick. They intervene after the patient gets sick. Now, that may be good for the medical establishment, but from the patient's point of view, I think they'd rather prevent the illness than have to deal with the consequences of treating the illness.
I can just imagine some of the listeners possibly saying, well, yes, I'd want to prevent it, but does it mean I have to become a vegetarian? Does it mean that I have to drink only distilled water? Does it mean that I have to avoid my wine at dinner time? And what might you answer to some of those women who might not be willing to make some significant changes in their lifestyle?
Well, it really depends how proactive someone wants to be. You know, we work with patients, and I always tell the patient, we'll be as diligent about your health care as you are for your own health care. So if someone wants to really make the appropriate changes, we'll work with them. There are a lot of people that don't want to change, and we'll work with them too. As a lot of doctors will throw you out of their office if you don't do as they say.
That's very true. And the thing is, you don't necessarily have to make a complete 180-degree change in your lifestyle. There might be certain things in your daily routine that are of greater risk than others, and there are certain ways of managing those. Then there are also substances that people use, for instance, vitamin D status, and I know that that's something that you measure in your patients. You also measure hormone levels and hormone ratios. You want to talk about that?
All right. I mean, there are a few things, and we start off with patients, first of all, doing the various testing, and then we can point out where patients can make improvements, and that's up to them to make the improvements. In other words, what we're trying to do is enable the patient to reduce their risk of getting an illness. Now, when it comes to breast cancer, the interesting thing is when you lower your risk of breast cancer, you're also lowering your risk of every other illness because you're making your body healthier. So here are some of the tests. You mentioned, you know, checking hormone levels. A factor when it comes to breast cancer specifically is estrogen dominance, which means that you're not making enough progesterone to balance out the amount of estrogen you're making. So if you have high estrogen levels and low progesterone levels, that's a risk factor. Not just for breast cancer, it's a risk factor to develop uterine fibroids, fibrocystic breast disease, which actually are precursors to breast cancer, because that's a common pathway, the estrogen dominance. Doctors don't address that. They dismiss it. When a young girl might mention to a physician, I get breast tenderness before my period, he says that's normal. It's common, but it means you're not making enough progesterone. And one of the reasons that occurs, and you mentioned, I think, earlier, the role that stress plays. When a woman's under stress, she stops making progesterone in favor of cortisol, the stress hormone. And when that happens, you become estrogen dominant, and that increases your risk of breast cancer. And it's been reported by women who have been diagnosed with breast cancer, within the previous 6 months, they had a very stressful incident. And almost unanimously, they seem to agree that there was an important stress factor in the development of their breast cancer. So you check the hormones. You mentioned vitamin D is important. You want to look at inflammatory markers, because inflammation is a common pathway for most illnesses. You want to look at your fasting insulin level, because if your insulin level is high, that's another risk factor for cancer. And going along with that is also leptin levels. If those are high, you want to be aware of it so you can make the changes in your diet. But the one thing I haven't mentioned yet is with breast thermography, it can identify a woman at risk of developing breast cancer as much as 10 years in advance. So the woman has plenty of time to make the changes, because those changes can be very effective. Jan, I'll give you an example. When I started giving women the artificial hormones, Premarin and a progestin, you know, to postmenopausal women, they saw an increase in breast cancer incidence. And then when I stopped making that recommendation and the women stopped taking it, the incidence of breast cancer went down. So there is a very quick response to that. But if you don't do the testing, you're not going to be aware of it. And I want to make a distinction, too. That doesn't apply to bioidentical hormones, because those are the hormones your body has been making your entire life, and your body knows how to deal with it. But the caveat is, even with bioidentical hormones, you have to keep the balance between estrogen and progesterone, so they need to be measured. I know that many women are getting implants of estrogen, which I recommend against, and here's my reason. They implant the estrogen, which means you've got a steady amount of estrogen in your body, but you have to remember to take that progesterone every day. It's because they don't implant the progesterone. So it's very easy for a woman to become estrogen dominant in that context. So, doesn't make sense to me, because they use the explanation that, do the implant. You won't have to remember to take your hormones every day. But you still have to remember the progesterone. So it really doesn't make any sense. And, you can't make any changes, because once that implant of estrogen is put in, you have to live with it for, 4 to 5 months.
And certainly it's unpredictable how quickly it breaks down in different individuals. I just want to remind everyone that on Thursday evening at 5:45, I will be doing a lecture with regard to breast cancer and nutrition and how to balance your hormones. And that takes place 2000 North Federal Highway in Delray Beach. And if you'd like to join us, the number to call, 561-921-4238. That's Thursday evening, October 6, 5:45. The location is 2000 North Federal Highway in Delray Beach. The number to call to make sure you have all of the information about joining us, 561-921-4238. And certainly be discussing thermography as part of the approach to make sure that you remain breast cancer free. You're tuned to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about all of the important aspects that you need to be aware of to protect yourself and remain healthy and cancer free. Stay tuned to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. More to come. Hi, this is Janet Cimarelli, and I want to keep you posted on an incredible supplement shopping opportunity coming soon to Margate, Florida, 3105 State Road 7 in Margate, just south of Sample Road on the west side of State Road 7, or otherwise known as 441. You will find Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center under construction. Stop in, say hello, get the latest news on EDLP and the great things you will soon find at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers. Incredible pricing, knowledgeable vitamin specialists, free nutrition counseling, all coming soon.
You can find out more about the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers at this website, sav-a-lotnutritioncenters.com. See progress of the store coming together. Check in for pre-opening specials. Learn about EDLP, the unique saving opportunity of everyday low pricing. Want more information? Send an email to al@savealotnutritioncenters.com.
And welcome back. You're tuned to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. Joining me this morning, Dr. Herb Slavin. And we're talking about breast cancer and the things that you can do to modify your risk of developing breast cancer. Dr. Slavin, talk a little bit, if you will, about thermography, what it entails, and who reads the results.
All right, well, the thermography is the measurement of the surface temperatures of the breast when we do breast thermography using an infrared camera. So that's how it picks up the different temperatures. And a normal thermography, both breasts will basically be the same temperature. And if you pick up discrepancies in temperatures, that's an indication, usually, because we're identifying women at risk, you pick up hormonal imbalances. And those imbalances don't just come from the hormones a woman makes in her body. There are external hormones they're exposed to, from cosmetics, plastics, probably if you're not purifying the water you're drinking, and you're drinking, you know, tap water, for example, it could be hormones in there. So it's really hard to tell where your exposure is coming from. But if you look at the breast in a thermography, you can tell whether or not everything is okay. And then you can take steps. You can take steps to change it now.
So taking steps based on the report from your thermography, very interesting, because certain technology is going to give you highly refined results, and I'm talking about pinpoint areas within the breast or on the surface of the breast that have slight variations in temperature, and those variations in temperature, even though the visual infrared picture might not necessarily point to anything specific, those variations in temperature are very important. Talk about that a little bit, Dr. Slavin.
Okay, well, first of all, you have to realize what causes the temperatures in the breast. It's really the blood flow going to the tissue, and if there's increased blood flow, then there's going to be a coinciding increase in temperature in that area. Well, hormone, estrogen dominance hormones will increase blood flow to the breast. Women are familiar with that because, you know, they report before their periods when the hormone levels become higher. They notice the breasts will become engorged, and sometimes it's painful, but that's the increased blood flow caused by hormones to a certain point, that may be normal, but again, you don't want to become estrogen dominant. And when you're estrogen dominant, it'll show up on a thermography as increased areas of heat. Now, the value of thermography is, here again, we're identifying women at risk of developing breast cancer. In other words, they don't have breast cancer yet. They have an abnormal thermography, but that can be corrected. And then it could be retested. Now, the important thing to remember with breast thermography is you have to be in the right environment, meaning that the room that it's done in has to be chilled to 70 degrees because that temperature differential is very important. If you don't cool the room down enough, you're not going to be able to see the difference in temperature. Another part of the exam that we do, a lot of places don't, is the cold challenge. The reason the cold challenge is important, it's testing whether or not those blood vessels that you're seeing in the breast respond to the cold. A normal response will be constriction. But if you have blood vessels that have developed because they're feeding a tumor, those blood vessels will not respond to the cold challenge, and you won't see a subsequent reduction in breast temperature in those people after the cold challenge. So it adds one additional level of testing to find out what's going on.
Would any of that tissue show up on a mammogram?
If you've ever seen what a mammogram looks like, let's put it this way. They've asked that question. How accurate are mammograms? And when they give the same mammogram to many different doctors, they get different interpretations. But here's the even more interesting. When they give that mammogram back to the same doctor to read, and he doesn't know he's already read it, frequently he'll give a different interpretation too. A lot of guesswork in mammograms because it's not a very precise test compared to an MRI of the breast. But again, both of those diagnostic tools are looking for the presence of a tumor. They're not going to be very helpful in identifying women at risk of developing cancer because that's not going to show up on those tests.
After a woman has a thermography and there is a discrepancy with regard to temperature variations on breast surface, would you say that that patient certainly has enough time to begin hormone testing and hormone balancing and regulation so that the risk of developing something malignant is reduced?
Absolutely. That's why thermography is such an important tool, because it gives the woman time. When you do a mammogram, there's no time left. You have the breast cancer. Now what are you going to do? You already have it. To me, it makes a lot more sense to prevent it from occurring than to wait until you have it. Now, why is that a poor approach? They say you hear the advertisements saying early detection is the best way of dealing with breast cancer. As it turns out, mammograms are not early detection. How do we know that? There have been several studies published where they wanted to answer the question whether or not after 30 years of doing screening mammographies for breast cancer, have they saved any lives? And the way they structured that study was they had women in the yearly mammogram group versus women in the no mammogram group, and they followed them, for 10, 15 years to see what the outcome was, because you'd expect the women in the yearly mammogram group would have been diagnosed with the breast cancer, they would have been treated, and their lives would have been saved. But what they found out is the death rate from breast cancer was the same in both groups. And that study had been repeated several times, so it's not just one study. It's several studies coming to the same conclusion. Mammograms do not save lives.
That's a very critical, important statement, that the studies have been, the findings have been found repeatedly in different studies. Now, Dr. Slavin, you do thermography at the Institute of Advanced Medicine, so women interested in accessing that test, they can call your office?
Yes, and what I've done also is put on my website, drslavin.com. If you just go to the first page of that website, when it opens up and you scroll down, there'll be a coupon that we put there that you can print out, and through the end of the year, we're charging $200 for a thermography. The usual price is $250, so you can avail yourself of that. Partly because October is Breast Cancer Prevention Month, although nobody's really preventing cancer in this country.
I think they're calling it breast cancer awareness, and
Okay.
I think we're all very well aware of the threats to our health and well-being that breast cancer presents. So, okay, people can go to drslavin, slavin.com, and scroll down, and you will find a coupon for a reduced price for a thermography. And I can mention that the thermography at Dr. Slavin's includes the test being done in a 70-degree room. There's a cold challenge, and there will be an interpretation consult with Dr. Slavin, so you can find out exactly the refinement interpretations for your thermography test results. And I will be speaking on Thursday evening, 5:45, 2000 North Federal Highway in Delray Beach. The number to call to join us on Thursday, October 5th, 561-921-4238. I'll be talking about the role that nutrition plays in balancing hormones and reducing the risk of ever developing breast cancer. And I just want to remind everyone that you've been tuned to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. You can go to SAVALOT nutritioncenters.com for more information. And I want to thank my very special guest for joining me for this very informative segment. So, Dr. Herb Slavin, and you can reach Dr. Slavin's office 954-748-4991, 954-748-4991, or go to drslavin.com. So thanks so much for joining me, Dr. Slavin, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon. To all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman, and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. Remember to tune in every weekday at 10 a.m. and find out more about EDLP, coming soon to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.